Glory to God and welcome to the Keys of Darkness. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we come before you. And today, Father, we just ask for your blessing. And Lord, I ask for your blessing upon each and every listener. Father, that you would give them ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is telling them. And Lord, today, that you would increase their wisdom and knowledge and understanding, discernment, strength, and boldness, and the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. Lord, I ask that you meet their every need, and today, by your Spirit, bring truth and bring comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God and welcome. I'm glad that we can get together again today and talk about more of the things of the Lord. You know, the Lord says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And it's hard to fight something that you don't really know what you're fighting. And that's why this is called Keys of Darkness. God wants us to know the things of the powers of darkness. A little understanding is what we're going to talk about. So I don't want to waste any time, and let's just get right into it. So if you would grab your paper and your pencil and, of course, your Bible, the Word of God, known as the Sword of the Spirit. And let's turn to the beginning, Genesis 1:1. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus is so good to us. Hallelujah. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I want to take 1 second here to explain something. God always was, always is, and always will be. The Word of God talks about we're in God. And in the first scripture it says, in the beginning. So let's look at as this. God decided to set a time and an event and end it. Okay? And so with more understanding to this, let's assume that you and I were planning to go. And we'll take the month of April, and we'll say April 10th. Well, on April 10th, we're planning to have a picnic with all the listeners, and we're going to party down in the Holy Ghost. And we're going to have events every day for 7 days. And then we're going to stop it. Well, that's what God did. And that's what He's doing right now. We're in this special time period that God has created especially for us. It's a whole time dimension. So in the beginning means God created and set a special event that only He created for a certain period of time. Because God is not bound by space or time, but we are. But when we leave these bodies, we will no longer be bound by those things. So in your Bible or on a sheet of paper, whatever you're taking your notes on, and of course we give you a list of certain scriptures and a little understanding and the title, which is the Keys of Darkness, but we can't put it all in there, and it's good for you to write some stuff down. So in the beginning, I would suggest that you might write the word time, and where it says in the beginning God, well, God was the force behind this, but He's the love. So in the beginning time, God, who is love, created the heavens and the earth. Now, He did. All things are created through the Holy Spirit. Okay, because Spirit means breath. So God breathed this creation. He spoke it in. He spoke time, He spoke the heavens, and He spoke the earth, and He spoke me and you in. So in the beginning time, God, the force and love behind it all, created the heavens and the earth, created the Holy Spirit, the word Holy Spirit over the word created. And where it says heavens, put space. And where it says the earth, put matter. So here God created time because He is God. And He creates all things in love. Not to torment people or to cause a problem. He created us in love. He creates all things in love. He created them through His Holy Spirit, by His Holy Spirit. So here He created space and matter, known as the heavens and the earth. And here the heavens were created first. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But he first created the heavens. The heavenly hosts were created, the throne room of God. All the heavenly things were created first before the earth and man. Okay? Now let's turn over to verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So if you look at this, you'll see that the earth was out form and void. It was ugly. I mean, it wasn't beautiful. It was useless. And darkness was on the face of the deep. Now, darkness represents evil. And deep represents abyss. So I want you to have the understanding, and waters represent life. So already, this earth was dark. There was no sun shining on it. It was dark. There was no light penetrating. It was totally dark. But there was water here, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over this whole earth. So immediately we see that there was evil here, known as sin. So sin was present before man was created. Now, I'm going to bring you understanding to this right away, okay? But first, let us go to, remember, the heavens were created first. Let us go to Isaiah 14:12. Isaiah 14:12, and it is good to hear the pages of the gospel turn. Glory to God. Isaiah 14:12. I know we have Isaiah 14:12 in here. Hallelujah. And I pray that the Lord has been bringing you revelation, confirmation, and manifestation of the things that you have been doing and praying for in Jesus' name. Now, if we go to Isaiah 14:12, first of all, I want you to understand that God created the heavenly hosts. All right? And three of the main angels there was Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. And I'm not going to get real in-depth with this, but I just want to show you some certain things. Because another teaching will get more in-depth with this. Lucifer was the music of God. He was like the the head of the orchestra. He was the orchestra himself. He was the praise of God. He was right there next to God. God moved through Lucifer as an instrument of praise. Okay? So let's look up here at verse 12 in chapter 14 of Isaiah. And it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." So here Lucifer rebels against God. He says, "I can do a better job than you. I will exalt myself higher than you. I will proclaim more things than you." He's saying, "I'm going to be better than you." And God is sitting there taking it, okay? But he's saying, first of all, back to the first verse, how you have fallen from heaven. See, God said, "All right, Lucifer, that's it. You're out of here." Because, see, sin first began in heaven by rebellion. So Lucifer rebelled. The Lord threw him out. And if you go down to verse 15, it says, "Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol," which is hell. the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Who shook kingdoms? Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities? Who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house, but you are cast out of your grave, like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. See, Lucifer rebelled against God, and the Lord put him in his place. You know, Satan was once an angel called Lucifer, but in his own love, he fell in love with his own beauty, and he fell into his own pride and self-centeredness. In his rebellion, he manifested many statements against God. With five utterances, he declared these things against God. He called himself, he would bring himself from the Most High. But the Lord heard all of them. And the Lord said to him then that he would throw him into hell, that people would gaze upon him and make him a spectacle, and that when we would look at him, we would say, he's the one that troubled us the whole time. See, he's really not as big as you think he is. But God has allowed him power. And that he would be the talk or the mock of everything. And he would be cast out of the grave like a carcass. And he would be alone, because he would be cast out from the presence of God. Okay, now let's turn to Revelations 12. Revelations 12, it's the last book, Revelations 12, to bring you a little bit more understanding of the keys of darkness. Revelations 12, 1, and glory to God. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems in his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of the heaven and threw them to the earth. Now, the stars of the heaven represented angels. This is talking about Lucifer. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. The child is Christ. Here Lucifer is ready to come against the body of Christ. Remember, he had already gotten thrown down to the earth. He had already gotten cast out of heaven. And he brought with him a third of the angels that were created. So see, they were already here before you and I got here. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. So there was darkness here. So Lucifer and a third of the angels that were created were already here in this area, on the earth and in the atmosphere of the earth and in the heavenlies of the earth area. Okay? But they were cast out of the heaven where God dwells. Okay, so he took a third of the angels with him, and he was coming against Jesus Christ, the child of God, the birth of God. See, when Jesus came, he birthed, after his resurrection, after his death and resurrection, he birthed me and you. So that's why Lucifer is still coming against us, no matter what. And in verse 5 it says, she bore a male child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Well, where's Jesus right now? He's with the Father on the right hand. Then a woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay, now, I just want to do a little overview of this. Remember, Lucifer got cast down from heaven, out of the heavenlies where God dwells. He got cast down to the earth, with a third, and Lucifer took a third of his angels. All right? Now, the casting down of Satan results from a great battle between the hosts of heaven and the hordes of hell. In this battle, heaven's warriors force Satan and his demons forever from the heavenly realm. You know, but we must take note that the victory has not been achieved solely by the angels, but also by the believers who use spiritual weapons. The angels fight, but God's saints, me and you, provide the firepower. And that's by prayer. All right? And we're going to talk about spiritual warfare later. But first of all, just like I said, I wanted to bring you a little understanding about the keys of darkness. So we know that Lucifer has been cast down here. That's why we're fighting. A third of his angels, which are these demons, are here. And they're coming against us. All right? So now we understand that before you and I were born into this world, sin had already existed. Before man was created, sin had already existed. Amen? Now let's go back to Genesis. Glory to God. Go back to Genesis 1, 3. Now if you have any questions about this, write them down and send them in to us so that we can answer them for you. Oh, we don't want to let anything go. Okay. Genesis 1, 3. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, if you think about this for a minute, the best example that I can give you is, here was darkness. God said, "Well, let's bring light." Okay? So, for light to come, the darkness had to stay dark. So let's just say that it was covered. Because remember, when Jesus rose, when he died on the cross, where did he go? He went into the earth. He went into the earth to get the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And that's where he defeated Satan, Lucifer. So why did he go in the earth? Well, first of all, in the earth is darkness, right? There's no light down there. It's darkness. So when God created light, darkness had to be covered. So the best scenario that I can give you is just, let's just take, if we were to take a flashlight, right? And when you turn the flashlight on, all light would be revealed. Think all darkness would be revealed. The only way that you can cover up that darkness was to cover it up with something. So that's why the evil powers are in the earth also. Okay? When God, in verse 3, then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. So darkness, evilness, is in the earth now, and on top of the earth is light. But it doesn't mean that there isn't evil on top of the earth, but the core of the earth is evil, because evil was here before man was here. Okay? Number 4, and God saw the light. Okay. Now, first of all, God always speaks light, and he always speaks life. And light overtakes darkness. And I'll show you in verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. But did you notice that evening is the beginning of the day? See, you always thought that the daylight was the beginning of the day. No, the evening was the beginning of the day, and the morning was the ending of the day. Because the darkness was here first. Right? So, darkness, which is the evening, sunset is the beginning of the day. And sunrise is during the day until the sun begins to set again. So it's from sunset to sunset. That's the beginning and ending of the day. So what happens is you're looking at darkness, sunset, coming up in the morning to light. So we see darkness to light, representation of unrighteousness to righteousness, a child of man, because those, you either serve the devil or you serve God. So we've been serving the devil all of our life, so we've come to the Lord, so we were a child of man, and now we are a child of God. And because we've been serving the devil, and the wages of sin is death, we've come from death to life. And because the devil is unholy, we've come from unholiness to holiness. Praise God. You see, darkness was here first, bringing it to light. You and I were bound by darkness. We were blinded by the devil. But Jesus came. When we received the Lord, the veil was removed off of our eyes, and we were able to see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So now let's go to verse 26. Turn a couple pages. Verse 26. Oh, I guess you don't have to turn but one page. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds, over the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Well, I like to say, over every creeping thing. So God made man. God created Adam. He created Adam in his image. So let's go down to verse 27. And he gave man, Adam, dominion over everything. In fact, the Bible says that he even named the animals. So in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man. He created him. Male and female, he created. So, I want you to understand something. That in this right here, God created man and male and female. And they were equal. I want you to understand that they were equal. And Adam was a representation of the light in the world. Hallelujah. Now remember something. Adam didn't have sin. Actually, Adam was created out of the Garden of Eden and put in the Garden of Eden. And that's where he fellowshiped with God. That's where Eve fellowshiped with God. Well, let's go to chapter 2, verse 7. Are you with me? Good. Like I said, if you have any questions, you can just write them down and we'll answer them. Send them in to us. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Glory to God. Remember before I said breath or spirit? They're equal. Breath, God breathed. So he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man. He put spirit in him. And when you put a spirit, and God took the dust and formed his form, his body, he became a living soul. Remember, breath means spirit, or spirit means breath. Alright? Let's go down to verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, Eden was a location, and eastward was the garden, and God put Adam in the garden. And out of the ground the Lord God, in verse 9, made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for the food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Good and evil. So we see that God created trees for people. They looked at them, Adam and Eve looked at them and said, wow. Because it says they were pleasant for sight, and they were good for food. Now I want you to understand something, that these sight are gates, and we're going to talk about gates here in a few minutes. But and the mouth is also a gate, okay? But the tree of life, who is Jesus, was in the midst. And there was only one tree of life. And there was a tree of good, the knowledge of good and evil. And that was Lucifer, Satan, okay? Now let's go down to verse 16. But before we go there, I want you to understand something. That you and I were eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil all of our lives until we came to Jesus. And now we eat of the tree of life. See, there are many good out there, and there are many knowledgeable, and there are many evil. But being good and having all knowledge of the world doesn't get you into heaven. And of course, being evil doesn't get you into heaven either. There's only one way to get into heaven, and that is through Christ Jesus. And as long as you're eating of the tree of life, that's by praying, eating of the Word, reading of the Word, and by praise and worshiping, and being obedient to the commands of God through His Word, you will sustain life. But when you begin to falter, when you begin to fall short of doing these things, of eating of the tree of life, you will begin to lose life. You will begin to backslide. And all of a sudden, because you need something to eat, you've got to eat. Spiritually, you've got to eat. You'll begin to eat the things of the world. Because you won't be satisfied. You've got to eat until you repent and you come back and you eat of the tree of life, Christ Jesus. Do you understand it? That's why so many people, when they backslide, it's because they're not eating of the tree of life. They're not praising and worshiping. They're not praying. They're not fellowshipping with believers. They become yoked with unbelievers. They begin to go out into the world. And they begin to get fed by the world, the desires of the world. Because the desires of the world will choke you. And you'll be deceived. And you'll come under the same old lies and the same old cunning way of the lies of the devil. Okay? So please understand. That's why God gave us this revelation. Here Adam was in this garden. He had an opportunity to eat of the tree of life. He was walking with God, fellowshipping with Him. But there was still the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, let's go down to verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Well, see, God gives us a free will. You may freely eat. Obedience is life. He's saying, here, freely eat this. It's okay. You can eat all of the trees. It's your choice. I give you free will. All right, now let's go to verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So the Lord is saying, okay, look it. Here's a command. Here's my voice. I've spoken this. If you don't abide this, if you don't abide in this, if you don't obey this, you're going to surely die. That's the same thing with the Word of God. He says, if you don't abide in this, you're going to surely die. If you don't eat of the tree of life, you're going to surely die. Because you've got to eat from one tree or the other. You'll either eat of the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? And remember, God gives you a free will for this. And I want you to understand that. Amen? Okay, good. Now, let's go over to chapter 3 and get into the real meat of this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Chapter 3. Now, let's begin with this. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. Well, where did the serpent come from? Well, who is the serpent? He's the devil. Remember, he was here before me and you. Hallelujah. A little understanding coming now? Great. Remember, before man was created, evil was already here. Sin had already started because there was rebellion in heaven. So now the serpent, who was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The serpent being the most cunning than any beast in the world, who is the devil, always brings to you a question to challenge God's word, to challenge God's truth. Why? Because he wants to bring you to reason. He puts the question in you to reason. You know, like when you're out sinning, he puts a question in you. Well, don't you think just one more time, you'll be all right? Well, then you'll bring in no reason. Why? Because you took heed of the voice of the stranger, the voice of the devil. Yeah. Now let's go down to verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, bummer. What did she do right there? She acknowledged his voice, she acknowledged him, and then she responded. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Well, see, the gate was open with a response to the serpent. Why? Because she took the voice of the serpent in her ear gate. Remember, a gate is something where something can come in or out, right? So we're going to begin to talk about gates. These are the keys of darkness. These are how the devil begins to come into you because he's cunning. He waits for you. But we're going to learn a little of his ploys coming against you today. Amen. So here the woman took heed. She said, well, she heard the voice of the devil. The serpent is right there. And then she begins to commune with him. So let's go down to verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. Now she knew God had said this. She knew the Creator that created her and all the things said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So now God is warning her. He's saying, look, don't even touch it. If you touch it, you'll die. If you eat of it, you'll die because it is unclean. And in verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, see, now the serpent communicates back with her. He gives a response. You will not surely die. And what does he do right there? He calls God a liar. Don't listen to that. You won't die. And what happens? He puts doubt in her. He brings confusion to her. He brings misunderstanding to her. Ooh, and now listen to this. And in verse 5, he says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing God, knowing good and evil. Well, here the devil, what does he do? Come on, he's been doing this to our whole life. He entices you by making a promise to you. He entices you by making a promise of being somebody of importance. But while doing that, he blinds you of the truth. And he feeds your flesh and your ego. Ooh, because he just wants to boast you. And what is the ego? Well, that's feeding pride. Do you understand this? Okay. So the woman, glory to God, this is getting intense. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, in verse 6, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Whoa. Now we're going to talk here. Okay, here's the keys of the kingdom of darkness. Here's the gates that we've been talking about. Now we talk about the eye gate. Here's the eye gate. Here's the mouth gate. Here's the ear gate. Then the eyes of both of them. Okay, so let's go back to verse 6. So when the woman saw, she saw with her eye, that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise. Ooh, because the devil just told her, well, man, you're going to be somebody if you eat of that. You're gonna be somebody. You remember, we talked about the devil saying, Lucifer saying to God, I'm going to be higher than you. See, what the devil's trying to do is clone his own right here. He's trying to make you into one of his, because he doesn't want you to know the truth of God. He doesn't want you to become knowledgeable of God and eat of the tree of life. Because if you eat of the tree of life, you will become knowledgeable of God. And the devil doesn't want that. So here we see the eye gate and the mouth gate and the ear gate, because she took heed of what he was saying. These gates are direct, they are a direct line to the mind and the heart or the soul, which cause hardening and rebellion and causes demon possession. And that's what we were doing. Okay? Now I want to bring you a little bit more understanding here. Hallelujah. Now, let's turn to Mark 9:42. Are you understanding a little bit here about what the devil does? That's why we don't want to take heed of the voice. The Lord says, my sheep will know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. But he didn't say that you wouldn't hear the voice. He said you wouldn't follow it. Well, you're not going to follow that voice until you get understanding. You got to take heed of what this voice does. He will always lead you against God. He will always threaten or promote you to threaten God in a way like, well, I don't need this. I don't need the ways of God. I know this. I have this. I. And I want to bring you another understanding. That the devil's trinity is me, myself, and I. The first thing he always wants to do is bring you to you, so that you can take your eyes off of the tree of life. And when he brings you to you, you begin to eat of the tree of good and evil. Because when he brings you to you, he causes you to stray. Okay, so we're talking about the eye gate. Let's turn to Mark 9:42. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to, well, we can start at 9:42. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a milestone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. So, we don't want to cause no stumbling blocks to ourselves or to anyone else. If your hand causes you to sin, you remember the Lord said, don't touch that tree. So the Lord says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire, than you're better off entering the kingdom of God and having one hand. Amen? Okay. So then he says in verse 45, so he talks about the hand, the works of the hand doing evil. And in verse 45 he says, and if your foot causes you to sin. So he's talking about where you walk. If your foot, if the places that you go in cause you to sin. And in 47, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye, rather having two eyes to be cast into hell. So now he's talking about the eye. Do you understand that? The eye gate. So we have to be careful what we look upon. We have to be careful of what we hear. We have to be careful of where we're going and what we touch. Because the Lord says, if you will not touch anything that's unclean, if you won't touch anything unclean, then I will receive you as my son and daughter, and I will be a father unto you. Okay, so now we talked about the eye gate. We talked about the touch. and we're talking about what we hear. Now we're going to talk about the mouth gate. And let's go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, 16. Matthew 15, 16. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Jesus said, Are you also still without understanding? Now this is what he wants us to have. He wants us to have understanding about the keys of darkness. About the understanding that sin was here already. We were born into sin because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And we're going to talk about the fall of Adam and Eve here in a minute. But that these gates, because you saw Eve being seduced and conned by the things of the devil, which you and I have been seduced and conned by the things of the devil our whole life until we've come to Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 16, are you also still without understanding? Well, we're getting it today, and to God be the glory. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. And these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Okay? So he's talking about, you know, uncleanliness of the outside isn't the defiling of the man. It's the things that you speak. Because God says, out of your heart speaks what's in your heart. And in your heart is evil and things to that degree. Fornication, lust. But when we receive Jesus, Jesus takes the hardness from our heart. And he makes it a heart of flesh. He begins to mold our heart. He begins to teach us his ways. So what we speak, because the Bible says, of what you speak, the tongue has the power of life and death. And what you sow is what you reap. So if you begin to curse, if you begin to speak about people, if you begin to speak evil things, you know, the Bible also says that a perverse mouth or a perverse tongue is evil. So if you're still cussing and things to that degree, ask God to take it. Because it is evil and it is sin. But only God can take it. We come to him with all of our problems. We come to him with all of our hang-ups, our addictions, our misbehavior, our attitudes. We come to him with everything. You know, because when you go fishing, you catch a fish, then you clean it. Glory to God. But only God can clean you up. No man can clean you up. But you'll be cleaned up by the washing of the word, by the anointing of his presence, and the regeneration by the Holy Spirit. And to God be the glory. Now understand that the ear gate, the eye gate, and the mouth gate, we have to take heed. The things that we touch, these are known as the flesh. But we want to keep these gates closed. When these things come to us, we want to resist. Because the Bible says, resist the devil and he must flee. So we want to resist the things that he's speaking about. We want to resist the things that we see. You know, like people who are bound by fornication and pornography and pornographic things. Well, what is enticing them? The things that they see. They grab a pornographic book. Well, see, what happens is when you allow that gate to open up, you've allowed a spirit to come in. Amen. Do you understand that? Good. Now I want us to turn to 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. Now 1 John is towards the back. 1 John. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 2. Okay, are we there? Good. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, and it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So we went through verse 5 through 17. Now, he talks about the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. That is not of the Father, that is of the world. And who is the ruler of this world? Satan, Lucifer. This is where he got cast down to. Okay? So we have to be careful of the lust of the flesh. And we know the desires of the flesh. And we want to cover. And we want to protect our gates. Are you beginning to understand what's happening here? Please understand this. It's very, very important. Glory to God. Okay, hallelujah. Now, we understand also that the penalties for breaking this covenant with God now, by taking heed of these things and breaking the covenant with God, will cause death. Amen? And you know what's caused death? Because now we're not eating of the tree of life, but we're eating the tree of good and evil. Hallelujah. And to God be the glory. Let's continue on. And I'd like you to go back to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. We're going to get more insight of what happens when we take heed of the voice of the devil. When we look at the things of the world, and we begin to lust them by the eyes. Remember, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life will cause death. Okay? All right, let's go to, let me see here, chapter 3, verse 7. Well, let's go back to verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Ouch. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, you know what we've been doing this whole time in life until we came to Christ Jesus? We've been eating the fruits of the tree of good and evil. And this is going to blow you away. Now, check this out. Here they are walking with God in the garden. They decide to be disobedient. The devil cons them to think that God isn't true. They put doubt in them. They put reason in them. And they say, we'll try it anyways. If it's going to give us knowledge. So what they've done is taken heed to the devil, and they believed him. Now, when they ate of it, it says in verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened. Opened to what? And they knew that they were naked. Immediately. You're talking about they were walking in the Spirit, in the spiritual realm with God. Immediately they were taken out. Wow. And their eyes were open. And they knew that they were naked. Why? Because they were walking naked the whole time. Remember I shared with you. Me, myself, and I. So now their eyes are upon them. They took of the bite of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. They ate the fruit of the devil. And it gained access of the devil to come into them. Now check it out. So their eyes were open. They realized that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a coverings. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now they heard the voice of God. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, I want to share something with you. When we began to eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, the fruit of the devil, what happens? When we intake the drugs, when we intake alcohol, when we, remember, did you ever see the signs that says, good spirits, you know, over a bar? Alcohol, good spirits. Well, let me tell you something. It's good spirits, all right, but the wrong ones. Remember, breath means spirit. So, in the mouth gate. So what they did is, remember, if you were using crack or alcohol or whatever, but I just want to use crack for this instant right here, or whether you're snorting coke or inhaling marijuana, whatever it is, your mood changed. Why? Because you ate of the fruit of evil. You ate of the fruit of the good, of the tree of good and evil. You ate of the fruit of the devil. And immediately, your sight is brought on you, and he takes possession of you. Okay? Now, here they are. They heard the voice of God, right? They ate the fruit of the good of the tree of the good and evil. They ate the fruit of the devil, and they hid themselves. Well, what happens when you take a hit of dope or you get paranoid? You know that paranoid feeling? What you want to hide? It's the same thing. This happened right in the Garden of Eden. Okay. So they hid themselves because they got paranoid, and the Lord called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" Like he didn't know where they were. And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" See, what happens is when you begin to eat of the tree of good and evil, the fruit of the devil, you lose the voice, the leading of God. See, when we intook those drugs, when we intook crack or dope or whatever, we began to hear the voice of the devil, and we began to get paranoid, and we began to hear his voice and not the voice of God. So what happens then? In verse 12, then the man said, "The woman who you gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." So immediately we want to blame somebody else. And that's exactly what happened here. So Adam's going, "Wait a minute. Yeah, I became afraid." Because the Lord says, "Well, who told you this? Whose voice did you take heed of?" And Adam says, "Well, yeah, I did eat of that, but it was the woman. The woman, she gave it to me." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "Well, the serpent deceived me and I ate." So here we are, passing it on from woman one another. You see, immediately, as soon as you ate of the fruit of evil, as soon as you ate the fruit of the devil, you begin to accuse one another, you put the blame on one another, you take the voice of him, you become paranoid, and you lose the sight of God, and your eyes are on you. And of course, the Lord cursed the serpent. And then in verse 16, he cursed the woman. Now I want you to see what happens in verse 16. This is why the women have labor pains. And he says, "And I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And in verse 17, then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' curses the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like us, like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim which is an angel, at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. You see, God created Adam in his likeness, in his image. He gave him everlasting life like that. But remember, the devil was here already. And when Adam, his wife, confronted the devil, he conned her. He got her to eat of his fruit. And by eating of his fruit, he possessed her and him. And that became the fallen nature, sin. Immediately, they became flesh. Immediately, their blood was cursed. They had to die. They became spiritually dead, but not physically dead. But their physical death was awaiting them. You see, that happened with us. So now to this day, we're still fighting the fallen nature. Because remember, we talked about the beginning. God said, in the beginning. And we talked about that event on April 10th. Now, there's really not April 10th. I don't want people showing up here on April 10th. This is just an explanation that we're talking about an event that on April 10th is the beginning of a time sequence, and for 7 days, and then it would end. Well, that time sequence we are in right now. And in this right now, we are still a part of that fallen nature. We're still fighting that fallen nature. But when we came to Christ Jesus, we began to eat the tree of life. And our spirit became born again. So now as long as we continue to eat of the tree of life, we will be regenerated more and more into the likeness of God and what He created us to be. Because when Adam fell, he sinned. And he couldn't sustain the life because he knew now good and evil. He knew the things of good and evil. But he had sin in him. And because sin cannot dwell in the presence of God, so God had to have atonement. He had to have a way for man to be reconciled to him, and it had to be through the blood, because life is in the blood. And we're going to talk about the blood later, but not in this teaching. I just want to give you understanding of the keys of darkness, what happened, where it began, where sin began, and how the fall of man, of Adam, began this complete fall, and why you're fighting your members, and why you're fighting amongst the powers of darkness around you, because it is around you. This is where they are. This is where they dwell. But through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, God has empowered you to say no to the devil and say yes to Him. He's empowered you to read the gospel and get fed on the Word of God. He's empowered you to speak truth, to speak wisdom, to speak blessings and not curses, to speak life. Because remember, it's not what comes in a man that defiles him or what proceeds out of his mouth. Okay? So remember, what we were doing the whole time here on this earth is we are eating of the fruit of the devil, and he took hold of us. Like I shared with you before in the other tapes, my encounter with the Lord. When I had the encounter with the Lord, the first one I ran against was the devil, because he came out of me. That serpent came out of me. And he was in you. But now he's coming out of you. And those desires of the world will continue to be diminished. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life will continually be diminished by the renewing of your mind by the Word of God, by praising and worshiping, by prayer. And we're going to talk about praise and worship later also. But these are the things we must begin to understand, that the devil is like a roaring lion. He's out to deceive you. He's out to take everything that you have. He's out to come against you. And the one thing he wants you to do is to lose hope and faith in God, in Jesus Christ. He wants you to think that all the things that Jesus paid for you, you were taking in vain. Jesus paid the price for me and you. He died on the cross. I mean, come on, the devil was so afraid of Christ that he had to nail his hands to the cross and his feet to the cross. But that didn't hold our Lord, because he loved us so much. Because he loved us so much, he paid the price for me and you, for all the things that we've done, all the things that we're doing, and all things that we could ever do. But remember, repentance means to turn away. God has given you the authority. He says, resist the devil, and he must flee. He says, wisdom is reverence unto him. And understanding is to depart from evil. We must depart from evil. You know, David prayed, Lord, put a guard over my lips and my tongue. And let me tell you something. My prayer every day is, Lord, put a guard over my lips and my tongue, my eyes, my ears, and my heart. Put a guard over them, Lord, so that nothing can penetrate it. So that I won't take heed to the voice of the devil. So I won't take eyesight of the lust of this world, that it won't come into my heart. Amen? We must begin to do these things. Surrender them to God every day. Surrender your ears, your eyes, your mouth, your tongue, and your voice every day to the Lord. And to God be the glory. Now let's go to a more understanding. Isn't that wild? And how? I mean, when we begin to get this understanding, it's great. Because see, the devil doesn't want you to understand this stuff. But right now, God is bringing repentance to the body of Christ. He's teaching us and he's showing us, look at what comes out of your mouth is very important. And the next move, and what God is moving right now, is to take heed of the voice of the stranger. We must begin to understand how the devil fights. We must begin to understand the stumbling blocks that he puts before us. Remember, you can't fight what you can't see. But you can fight what you can't see when you know what you're fighting. When you know how his ploys are. Man, he'll use everything and anyone and everything to come to you and cause you a stumbling block. The desires of the flesh. We must come against the desires of the flesh. And what is the desires of the flesh? What is the flesh? Because see, the devil will always bring you to you. He'll always come to you and say, you're not worthy. What happens? He takes your eyes off of you. He'll always say to you, remember your past. Well, my brother and sister begin to tell him, remember his future, which is out of the presence of God, and yours is eternal life. He always says to you, you're not worthy. You've hurt all these people. You've done this. You've done that. And remember, that's what the devil does, is he brings you right back into you. He'll do everything he can to take your eyes off of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Okay? Now let's turn to Galatians. Galatians is an epistle. Remember, we talked about epistles being letters. So Galatians is an epistle. And it's a letter written from Paul to the Galatians. And Galatians is right before Ephesians and right after Corinthians. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. Chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, if you're led by the Word of God, if you're led by the voice of the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. Let me tell you, your flesh is fighting against your spirit, and your spirit fighting against your flesh all the time. Remember, your flesh is your desires, your senses, your eyes, what you hear, what you see, what you feel, what you taste, what you touch. All these things are the outwardness. This outwardness, because remember, it's part of the world. Remember, it's dust. And it wants to eat and drink of the things of the world because of its fallen nature. And it does not like the things of the Spirit. So they lust against one another. They're contrary. They're fighting against one another. And verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Because the things of the world are law. And verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry. Now, idolatry is things that you're putting between you and God. You worship your car. You worship the money. You worship your wife. You worship your children. You worship your job. You worship your talents. These are all things that are called idolatry before you and God. Okay? So we got in verse 20, idolatry, sorcery. Well, see, we are committing sorcery. Because remember, the word drug, translation in the Greek word, which is pharmakos, means sorcery, magic. So we were committing sorcery. You're committing sorcery by drinking. You're committing sorcery by using drugs. Because it's mood altering. Okay? Hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, doing things for you and not for one another. You know, it's better to give than to receive. But you know, God wants us to receive from Him. And when He has blessings for you, receive them. But don't do things that are just going to prosper yourself all the time. That's selfishness. Outbursts of wrath, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past time, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. For the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Every day, ask the Lord, say, Lord, I want your desires. I want your compassions. And in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And in verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Praise God. Remember, we are Christ now. And ask God, Lord, crucify my flesh. Surrender the lust of the flesh to Him. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the world. That's all you have to do is ask Him. Alright? Sexual immoralities. Lord, take the desires from me, please, and teach me your ways and guide me in your path. Now let's go to Revelations. Back to Revelations. Hallelujah. Are you getting understanding? Are you getting understanding in how the devil deceives us? How he puts things across our path? How sin was here before we even were born? How the devil has just been waiting for us? He's waiting for you. I'm telling you, he is around all corners. He's ready to throw a stumbling block before you. But like I said, God says that He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God has given us all dominion. And He's constantly working on us for the regeneration, bringing us back to the fullness of what He created, us in His image. Let's turn to Revelations 18. Revelations 18. Glory to God. 18:23. Now the light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore, for your merchants were the great men of the earth. By your sorcery all nations were deceived. Remember, we talked about it. Here it is in Revelations, that by the sorcery, by the drugs, by the alcohol, by the deceit, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, by the sorcery, all nations were deceived. I mean, God tells us that. And He says, let's go back over this. The light of, a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. Because we're the light. We're the lamp. And the Word of God and the Holy Spirit keep this lamp lit. Okay? It says it won't shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom, who's the bridegroom? Jesus. And bride, or the bride, shall not be heard in you anymore. Because the nations were deceived by drugs and alcohol, by the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes. Let's go to Revelations 21:8. 21:8. Glory to God. I'm going to back up a little bit to 21:7. It says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, or my daughter, my child." See, even though that we began this walk and we've fallen a few times, God is merciful. As long as you keep holding on and coming back and eating of the tree of life, you will have life. And the whole time, we've been searching for the truth. And we have found the truth now. And it's wonderful to know the truth. It's not always how you begin. It's how you end up. Here again in verse 7, he says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son or my daughter or my child." Let's go to verse 8. "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, such shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." See, they will have that part. That's what awaits them. That awaits those. I'm telling you, many brothers and sisters who have fallen, who have walked with God, but have fallen because they did not know the weapons of the devil, that they did not eat and drink of the tree of life. They have fallen. They've gone out and used drugs. And during that drug, they've overdosed and they've died and gone to hell. Many are there. Many, many, many. And it hurts my heart because they were not given the weapons. They were available to them, but they didn't take it. But now, you are going to have the weapons because one of the weapons is understanding who you're fighting and some of his ways of getting and enticing you. Now let's turn to Revelations 22. Glory to God. 22, verse 14. And we're going to end it with this. Chapter 22, verse 14 in Revelations. Let's go back to verse 12. I can't resist this. This is just powerful. And the Lord says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And to God be the glory. My brother and sister, I pray today that more understanding was given to you, and that you'll begin to take heed of the voice of your Father, the Holy Spirit, and resist the voice of the stranger. Now I want to take you just to one more scripture. It's Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. Powerful. This is where I want you to understand that this is where you're standing in the sight of God. This is where you're standing with the Lord. In Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1. Now, this is a vision from Zechariah, and he's talking about Joshua. Now, I want you to put yourself in the place of Joshua, okay? Chapter 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest. Well, God has called you to be a priest and king. And you get, it's in Revelations that God has rescued us, that we can be priests and kings unto him. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. I'm telling you, Satan is up there. He's always accusing you. He's always running to God saying that you did this, you did that, this, that, and whatever. That's why it's so important to be right with the Lord so that we don't tie his hands, so that we can receive his blessings. So there is Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem to rebuke you. This is not a brand plucked from the fire." Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." Didn't we have filthy garments? I mean, when we were brought to the Lord, Satan was there accusing us. But when we came to him, Jesus said, "I don't care what he's wearing. Bring him to me, and I will change his garments." So here, then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him in verse 4, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you," because he repented of his sins. "And I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that there's an angel of the Lord standing by you. Always. Always. God has got his angels around you. He's dispatched them to you to protect you and guide you. And when you read Psalms 91, you'll know that the angels are put around you to lift you up and bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But today, I want you to understand that God has put new garments on you. When we came to him, we asked for his forgiveness. We came to him with our rags and all of our unrighteousness and all the things that we've been carrying with the world. But he changed us by just coming to him and begin to eat the tree of life. Today, continue to eat the tree of life. God bless you, my brother, and I pray that this seed will grow and bear fruit for the glory of God. I love you, and when you get a chance, write me. The Lord be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.